Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hail the Hero by Timothy Ellis, narrated by Graham Halstead. 1. Oh, hell no, I exclaimed. I felt disjointed for a brief moment, as if time had just jumped back a few seconds, and I'd heard myself exclaim the same thing twice, or maybe it was just a mental echo brought about by a shocked discovery. "Get Yorktown moving, now!" I yelled. People around me winced as Team Comms amplified my voice in their heads. "They're about to jump on top of you! Cruisers, corvettes, and Excalibur pilots, stand your ships on their nose and push Yorktown down. For divine sake, do it now!"
"John, what's going on?" asked Vonda.
"The Midgard fleet is about to jump into Miami, right on top of the American ships. And what's worse, they have two giant battering rams going first, presumably to make a path through the debris field that isn't there anymore." I could hear Yorktown's captain bellowing orders in the background, overlaid by those of Greer and Miriam as they exhorted their pilots to do as I'd told them. Lined up behind the two strange-looking ships were four walls of six missile cruisers with Talon squadrons in between. Between us and them was another 24 cruisers deployed in a defensive wall. "Four walls of six missile cruisers about to jump," I said for the Americans' benefit, who couldn't see what I saw. "American defensive ships, get an immediate target lock on the jump point." Barely 10 seconds later, the first two dull red dots jumped. On the scanner screen, the dull red dots merged with the green dots. Two yellow dots appeared for just a second. The scanner feed from the other side vanished. "What just happened?" I demanded.
"Feed lost at the source," said Jane. "Comms lost as well."
I sat there, stunned, for several seconds. "Perhaps today is a good day to die," I sub-vocalized to myself.
"Shut up, John," said
Amanda, sub-vocalizing as well. "Sorry," I whispered.
"Kapla," sub-vocalized Eric.
"Success," I translated, still sub-vocalizing. "Indeed." His pronunciation needed work, but it had been a great response to my all-too-public musing. Only those on team comms would have heard what we said. "All ships," I said normally. "Advance. Prepare to fire. Jane, mark out positions to stop for all ships in range of all guns. Allow the battleship's room to turn enough to bring all guns to bear. Launch the hives."
"Confirmed."
Time stopped for me. What was it with me and time? There is no time. Focus. The battlefield was laid out to my sight below me. My fleet was arrayed in a wall formation. Big Mother was in the middle, Warspite was on my left, Repulse on my right. John Wayne was above, with the Guardians on both sides. A line of corvettes was above them. A line of cruisers and destroyers was below Big Mother. The enemy fleet was divided into two halves. The closest half was a defensive formation between us and the jump point. A wall of missile cruisers was 6 wide and 4 high, sideways onto us. 720 Talon medium fighters were behind them, positioned to fire through the gaps and around the sides of the wall. The other half of the enemy fleet was lined up in 4 rows of 6 behind each other, so 6 missile cruisers could jump into the Miami system together. Between each group of cruisers were 15 squadrons of 12 Talon fighters, with the last group of Talons in the tail position. I looked down on the battlefield, and a fierce cold touched my heart. Time sped back to normal, as did my vision. My fleet shot forward, obeying my order to advance, raggedly at first, but coming back into formation quickly. The first rank of 6 enemy missile cruisers jumped out. "Fire missiles as soon as they come in range. Fire hive torpedoes as soon as you can get a target for them."
"Confirmed."
Midgard fired first, as if they'd been waiting for us to arrive. 4,800 capital ship missiles headed towards us. Talons streamed through the jump point, going the other way, to attack the American fleet on the other side. 50 mosquito launchers belched in response. Our missile launchers fired a second later. The second rank of missile cruisers jumped. A wall of Talon missiles headed towards us. The hives fired off salvos of torpedoes.
It looked like they would arrive at much the same time as our missiles. I sat there watching. There was nothing else I could do now. The bridge around me was silent, as everyone's attention was glued to the scanner. I zoomed it in so only the space between us and the jump point was visible. "Get the salvage droid out of there, Jane."
"Confirmed."
It had played its part, sneaking us a look at the enemy position without revealing our presence. There was no point in it, or the comm-nav sat it carried being destroyed in the fighting. Any sort of plan was out the window. Midgard had surprised me this time and given us no time to adapt. All we could do was slug it out. Missiles met mosquitoes, and space in front of us lit up. The third rank of missile cruisers jumped. Our missile launchers fired a second time, this time aimed at the remaining wall of missile cruisers, still waiting to jump. A cloud of talons were in front of them. 24 missile cruisers exploded in the space of 3 seconds. Point defenses opened up at the approaching anti-fighter missiles. Several missiles impacted on Big Mother's shields, and I checked to see what was happening fleet-wide. The corvettes were having the hardest time, but most other ships were holding their own. "Corvettes, duck behind a bigger ship before you lose too much shielding." I watched them all fall out of position and move into protected spaces. Their shields began to improve. The last 6 missile cruisers jumped out. "Shit," I said, as I realized what was about to happen next.
"What?"
asked Allison. "Our last salvos of missiles are going to jump through into Miami."
"Oh."
"No one ask how bad that is, please. I don't know."
"Duh,"
said Amanda and Alicia together. The last salvos of missiles vanished into the jump point, as expected. The next wall of incoming Talon missiles launched at us. The mosquito launchers belched again. "All ships launch FFs." The Talon cloud surged towards us. Now they weren't trying to protect their capital ships. 720 fighters. They started winking out almost immediately. The fleet kept up the missile launches. The cloud surrounded us. Point defense turrets sought out missiles, corvette and destroyer guns sought out Talons, and they continued to wink out. "Big Mother pilots, launch. Corvettes and fighters, break and attack."
"About bloody time," said a British voice.
Gunbuses, camels, Excaliburs, and a Centurion launched and joined with the other corvettes in dogfighting Talons.
"Sir," asked Lacey, who was in the assault frigate General Custer.
"Go."
Custer dropped from underneath Big Mother and dived into the middle of the cloud. Normally suicidal for a frigate, this one could dogfight with the best of them. It was designed for me, and whatever I flew handled like a fighter, even Big Mother. Every fiber of my being wanted to dive Big Mother in after Custer. I resisted. I found myself checking what guns I could link to my joystick and discovered Big Mother had the same gun and front launcher set up as Gunbus did, so technically I could dogfight her the same way. The mind boggled, though, and I resisted even more strongly. Big Mother was longer than a cruiser, but shorter than a battleship. Dogfighting in the middle of a fleet was out of the question. All the same, my fingers itched. The number of Talons dropped to below 100, and they peeled away from the fleet, trying to escape back towards Midgard.
"Pursue!"
Our smaller ships went after them, while the larger ones continued launching missiles. 50 Talons, 29, 13, none. I breathed a sigh of relief and drained the remaining water in my bottle. I couldn't recall actually drinking from it, but obviously I had. Jeeves replaced it with another one. "All ships. Crews can refresh themselves, but remain on high alert. We may have to do this again in Miami as soon as we can jump in. Big Mother team, RTB. Fleet comms are now ended for now." Jane caught my eye, and I nodded to her. Fleet and team comms shut off. The whole battle had lasted just under 15 minutes. The debris field was huge. Talon wrecks were all around us. Jane sent out the salvage droids. Haul the salvageable Talons into the Guardian's cargo holds. If they fill, create a parking area. Clear the debris from around us into a mountain well away from us, and then I want the jump corridor cleared as rapidly as possible.
Confirmed.
Is it over? Asked Amy.
Yes, at least until we can jump a comnav sat into Miami and find out what happened there.
Admiral, said Vonda, can you explain what happened here?
I sighed. We arrived just as Midgard were jumping into Miami. My guess is they planned to attack from both jump points at the same time, using what they thought were overwhelming numbers, and are probably unaware we took the other jump point. The first ships to jump out looked like huge walls attached to the front of two cruisers. They had obviously guessed a few days ago their fleets were not getting through the debris field on the other side, or maybe a Talon survived the jump to jump back and tell them. They devised a way of pushing through it to clear the down-jump lane for their fleet to follow. The problem was Yorktown, whatever pocket battleships they had, the Gunbus Squadron, and the Excalibur Wing were all waiting to jump through to here.
"Sorry, what happened?" asked Amanda.
"I don't know. They had maybe 30 seconds warning to move Yorktown out of the way. Immediately after the two battering ram ships jumped, two missiles were fired and we lost all contact. I don't know why."
"Could have been nukes," said Alana.
Everyone looked at her. She was the demolition specialist.
"The EMP from an explosion that close would have fried the jump point commsat and the navsat on any ship in the blast range. Might even have taken out ship IDs. Ships not caught in the initial blast should have been okay otherwise."
Good explanation for the troops, but it didn't explain the loss of comms, which had been going AI to AI through Jane, not the commsat. And I wasn't about to tell them.
"We can only hope," said Annabelle.
"Everyone take some downtime while you can," I said. "I'm going to email Miami and hope we get a response. It's going to be at least an hour, likely more, before we can safely approach the jump point. I'll be in my ready room if anyone needs me." I jumped up, groaned, stretched, and limped in, sinking into a lounge chair. Angel followed me and sat on my lap, purring. Vonda followed as well. Jane closed the door behind me. I started a vid. "Marshal, admirals, generals, the Midgard side of the Miami jump point is ours. We arrived almost to the moment when Midgard started to jump a 48 missile cruiser force through the jump point. The first two ships through were like battering rams, as if they expected to have to hammer their way through a debris field to make a passage for their cruisers and fighters. Seconds after the jump, there were two missiles fired, and we immediately lost both nav data and comms with Miami. The first is explainable if the missiles were nukes, but the comms loss is a mystery since they were going AI to AI. I'm trying not to think the worst. We know Yorktown was right at the jump point and only had less than 30 seconds to move clear. For now, I'm hoping they did and their offensive force remained intact to deal with the 24 missile cruisers and 60 squadrons of Talons that followed. The other half of the force engaged us and was handled without any major issues and no casualties. Once again, the Mosquito missile system proved to be the decisive factor in handling the barrages. Marshal, I don't know how the American fleet fared. If you receive no contact from Admirals Jedburgh or Hallington in Miami, please send this vid on to whoever is the appropriate authority for urgent action. I would assume there's at least one rear admiral still left there on the other carrier, but I don't have contact details for that person. Have someone contact me with a sitrep. I sincerely hope this won't be necessary.
In any case, as soon as we can clear a passage to the jump point, I'll send in another comm nav sat. The state of the other side of the jump point and who controls it will determine my subsequent actions. In the meantime, all we can do here is wait and hope. Hunter out. I sighed, assembled the email, and sent it off.
Well put, said Vonda.
Did I miss anything important?
No. I'll leave you to planning our next step.
She stood and left. I sent a quick text email to Miriam, asking her to confirm she was all right, hoping it would be answered quickly. It wasn't.
2.
I sat there wondering if I'd killed Miriam. It had been my idea to mount their new pocket battleships, Gunbus Squadron, and Excalibur Wing on top of Yorktown and have her pushed into the jump sideways by a cruiser. It was my fault their fleet carrier was sitting there sideways on, totally vulnerable to anything jumping in at them. It had never occurred to me that Midgard might attack there again. True, I couldn't have foreseen what had happened, but the blame was still mine. I started down the emotional spiral. My fault. I'm to blame. Guilty of arrogance and stupidity. Risen to the level of incompetence. Was this my karma coming back at me? I'd killed those two assassins without even thinking about it. Before that, I'd flushed the mercenary team out an airlock. I'd killed when I hadn't needed to. Was this my punishment? And what about sleeping with Allison while I had something going with Miriam? Was this punishment for that too? In a dream, I'd seen Miriam vanish in purple smoke. Was it trying to tell me she was soon to die? I looked upwards, seeking guidance. Tell me you haven't taken my lover's life to pay me back for those I killed. Tell me I'm not damned to remember her the rest of my life as a curse for losing my spiritual way. Tell me she hasn't paid my debts. Silence. Tears came to my eyes. A noise caught my attention. B.A. had her head poked around a barely open door.
No, you don't, she said. You're not doing this.
Which this is that? The flippant answer rolled off my tongue without requiring thought. She came in fully.
You're beating yourself up about what might have happened over there, because you suggested it. You're rapidly convincing yourself you killed Miriam. Am I right?
I looked at her miserably. She pulled me out of my seat, causing Angel to jump onto the chair rapidly from my lap, and hugged me. For a full 5 minutes she held me, before pushing me away and turning to Angel.
I'm going to borrow him for a while, sweetie. Is that all right? Mew. Thanks. I'll bring him back when he's thinking straighter. Why don't you visit your cat bed for a while?
Mrah, mrah.
Angel jumped off the chair and ran out.
Follow, she said to me.
She led me down through the ship, into Custer, and to the gun ranges. She programmed a 2-person assault course. I was about to point out I didn't have my guns, when she took 2 assault rifles from a gun rack I didn't know was there. For the next 2 hours, she bullied me through the course repeatedly. Eventually, Jane announced the jump corridor would be cleared in about 10 minutes, and we headed back up the ship. I hurt. Really hurt. B.A. hadn't let up. She'd pushed me to the limit of physical exhaustion, and my bruises hadn't liked it, but I savored the pain. I deserved it. I limped back onto the bridge and sat. B.A. and I were the last ones to enter. I emptied the bottle of water waiting for me. Jeeves quietly took the empty and dropped another full bottle in the holder. Jane, ouch. I looked around to see B.A. step back with a medical device in her hand.
Sorry, John. I pushed you as hard as I had to, but we need you pain-free now.
Just as well you're a superb combat soldier, because you're a lousy nurse. There was a titter of laughter around the room. Jane, sit rep.
Almost ready.
Send the comnav sat as soon as you can.
Confirmed.
I waited impatiently. I had to suppress the urge to get up and pace.
Droid, away.
It took another minute to jump. The scan data for Miami popped onto the screen again. There was a mass of gray dots. No green ones at all. Dread seized my heart and squeezed.
What the hell happened? Asked Eric, down in one of the camels.
I hadn't realized Team Comms was back on. A huge area was marked as a navigation hazard, but oddly the down-jump corridor was clear. And now I looked closely, there appeared to be a line of gray dots ending in an arrowhead pointing into Miami. Some of my dread lifted. Let's go find out, I responded. I opened a channel to repulse. Big Mother is jumping into Miami. Admiral Bentley, you have the fleet until I return.
Aye, sir, she replied.
Unlike me, she was professional enough to not show any emotion. The channel closed. I nodded to Jane, and she moved us forward and into the jump at a low speed. 3. The first 7 ships we passed were all gun buses. The next 15 were Excaliburs. They moved to follow us, showing they were still operational.
Comms? I asked Jane.
None.
I tried pinging Miriam with a simple, please answer this ping message.
What took you so long? Came back.
I grinned. I looked around, and they were all grinning, seeing the dots following us.
Sit rep, I pinged her.
The first 2 ships missed us by inches. Yorktown and Lexington were both damaged by missiles and cannot land fighters. 2 gun buses lost, 7 Excaliburs lost, 23 other fighters lost before we could join the fight. Almost all ships of corvette size or smaller are damaged. Can you take the worst of us? At least we can ping basic instructions to each other so I can tell people to land if you can take us.
Yes, we can take 4 squadrons for now. Send them in worst first. The Excalibur should fit in through the rear of the flight deck, but some of you will need to spacewalk to an airlock as there aren't enough bays. 6 gun buses can dock at our external airlocks. If Greer is still with us, you and he report to my ready room, please. I threw her ping to a side screen so everyone could read it. Jane, prepare for fighters landing. Get every repair droid we have to the maintenance deck and the flight deck. Find out why they have no comms and repair whatever the problem is on the corvettes and Excaliburs first.
Confirmed.
Both on our way, answered Miriam.
Big Mother corvettes and fighters, launch, please. We need all available docking for incoming damaged ships. Custer as well, please. I want a general inspection of all ships in the American fleet. If you get close enough, pings work, so see if you can make contact with each one. Squadron leader, take Lexington. Wing commander, take the Yorktown. See if we can set up any form of communication with them. If you can make contact with an admiral, I want to know immediately. Oh, and wing commander, deploy a comnav sat, please. There was a chorus of acknowledgments, and ships began to launch. Slice also acknowledged the additional order. I asked Abigail to cancel team comms and opened a vid. Marshal, admiral, and generals, I'm in Miami and the American fleet prevailed. However, it was at some cost. Both carriers are damaged to the level they cannot recover fighters. 9 of their new corvette and privateer ships were lost, with 23 other losses. Most of their smaller ships are damaged, and I'm recovering the worst of them now. Something odd has happened here. The entire American fleet is without comms, and their ships display on the scanner as if dead. I have no contact as yet with anyone above the rank of commander. I'll keep you informed as we learn anything new. Hunter out. I sent the vid off, having added Admiral Bentley to the recipients so she would know what had happened. I turned to Jane. Did the work on the pilots and crew's messes get completed?
Confirmed.
Fully ready for occupation?
Duh.
The twins smiled at hearing Jane copy their favorite saying. I looked around the bridge. Volunteers to meet American pilots, please. Take them to the pilots' mess. Overflow to use the crew mess instead. You'll need to get directions, as I don't even know where they are.
Confirmed.
Everyone laughed. As a tension releaser, Jane was doing well. Most of the team left the bridge. I moved into my ready room and had no sooner sat in a lounge chair when a flash of white landed in my lap. I gave her a huge cuddle. A random thought told me Angel was now 11 weeks old. You're getting bigger, sweetie pie, I told her. Soon you'll be able to jump up on things without using a ramp.
Meow.
She looked pleased with that comment. She tried to jump to the top of the chair, landed 2/3 the way up, and climbed the rest of the way. She was soon fast asleep on top. I tried to look at emails to pass the time, but found I couldn't concentrate. 15 minutes passed, and midnight ticked over. I started pacing.
John, said Jane through comms, there's an email you must view now.
I took my pad out, saw the email highlighted with an urgent flag, and threw the vid to the wall. An American 4-star general looked out at me. Vice Admiral Hunter, I'm General Patton of the American Joint Chiefs. Your communications about the Miami situation have been received via the British fleet. We appreciate you ensuring we received your updates in spite of not having the proper channels available. You are hereby recalled to active duty. Until the status of Admiral Jedburgh is established, you are placed in command of all American ships and personnel within the Miami and Midgard systems. You will please send all ships requiring shipyard work back to Dallas as soon as they can either move themselves or be towed. You are ordered to destroy all missile launchers on the surface of Midgard and to blockade the Midgard planet, in preparation for the arrival of a diplomatic mission. You are further ordered to investigate the system for other inhabited planets, moons, or stations. You will remove Midgard's ability to wage war. Orders are being sent to all ship captains and unit commanders. I understand you don't have an aide. You will immediately appoint yourself one who will communicate with my aide to receive copies of these orders for communication through local means. Admiral, please keep us up to date with all new information, no matter how trivial it may seem. Patton, out. There were contact details attached to the email. Jane, whisper to Allison and get her in here ASAP, please.
Confirmed.
I responded with an orders received and understood message, adding we had no new information at this time, but we were trying to make contact with each ship now. I stood again to start pacing, when a whirlwind crossed the room, grabbed me, and started to hug the life out of me. I hugged her back for a good 2 minutes before disentangling myself. Hi, I said. For a while I thought you were dead. Miriam looked at me steadily. Then she laughed.
I came oh so close, but you don't get rid of me that easy, Buster.
This time she kissed me.
Ahem,
came a voice from the doorway. We broke apart and I turned to find Allison.
You wanted me, John?
She asked. I let go of Miriam and walked to my conference table, waving them both there as well. We sat. Are you up to speed on the duties of an admiral's aide? I asked Allison.
Sure. Do you know an admiral who needs one?
Me. In fact, I've been ordered to have one. Would you like the job?
Is this a trick?
I laughed. Miriam didn't seem to understand what was going on.
No, I need an aide, and I need one now.
Okay, John, you have an aide.
Good. When we finish here, claim an office and have Jeeves put your name on it. I pinged her the contact details I'd received. I need you to contact General Patton's aide immediately. Identify yourself as my aide. You'll be sent a series of orders. Identify who those orders are for and where they're located at the moment. Jane will need the list.
On it.
She went blank as she began to compose an email. I turned to Miriam. Who's the senior American officer of those who came on board with you? Or who's coming on board if not already here? I asked her.
Greer. He was promoted a few minutes ahead of me, so he has marginal seniority. He's getting things organized in the pilot's mess, but should be here soon.
Get him up here now, please.
Okay.
I pinged Vonda for her and Alsop to join us, and pinged Annabelle as well.
What's happening, John? Asked Miriam.
Patience. I'll explain when the others get here. We waited. Annabelle was first in. Vonda and Alsop walked in together not far behind, and I waved them to the table. Vonda had no sooner sat down when she went blank. Presumably she had a ping or email to view. Greer came in almost at a run, and I waved him to the table as well. He sat, looking very curious. Vonda was back with us now, I saw. Thanks for coming. You all need to see this. I threw the general's vid to the wall and watched the two Americans as it played. Order, sir? Asked Greer after the screen vanished. Commander, I need you to take a shuttle to every ship in the Miami system. You'll take a copy of the vid you just watched and show it to every ship's captain or whoever currently has command. Start with the carriers. I need to know what happened to the admirals. I want everyone on the list Allison will give you or whoever has their command now here for a meeting at 9 a.m, at which time they'll receive orders direct from General Patton. The same applies for unit commanders. I would assume that includes all squadron leaders and marine colonels and above. Allison is acting as my aide from now on. I'm sorry you won't be getting much sleep, but with comms down, someone senior has to deliver the orders. That's you. Jane will be flying the shuttle. She's to receive the combat feed from each ship. Keep her up to date with anything you discover. If need be, she can pass the information straight on to me. Suggest to each captain or unit commander they bring with them a report to be transmitted off to ASF command. As soon as you return, send off any information you find out so the Joint Chiefs have some sort of update before morning.
Yes, sir. Leave now?
Yes. Jane, prep a shuttle and direct the commander to it.
Confirmed.
Greer stood, saluted, and left. I sighed. Someone up there hates me, I mumbled.
Maybe so, John, said Vonda, because I have to make this worse for you.
She threw another vid to the wall. Lieutenant General Wellington, said the officer with four stars on his shoulders. You are relieved of your current duties and appointed temporary military governor of the Midgard system. You will pass command of the multi-sector fleet to Vice Admiral Hunter. You are to assist him in the pacification of the Midgard system. When safe for diplomats, you will work with the initial diplomatic team the Americans are sending to establish a peace. If Midgard don't agree to peace, you will command a blockade force around the Midgard planet until other measures can be considered and put into place. Hopefully they'll agree to peace, in which case you will restrain all members of the current government in preparation for war crimes trials and administer the system until relieved. Admiral Hunter is receiving orders from the Americans. It will assist him in the execution of those orders. Price out. There was silence around the table.
What is thy bidding, my master? Asked Jane through the comms.
Her voice changed.
What does the head honcho require?
Stop, I said. Let's not go through the whole list. We'll assume the jokes were original and we all laughed.
Spoil sport, your big cheesiness.
I looked around the table. They were all trying to keep their grins under control and failing. I turned to Miriam. Commander, you better see to your pilots. When you're ready to sleep, use one of the suites on deck, too. She looked about to say something, but thought better of it. She nodded and stood.
Sirs?
She turned and left. Jane, how are we off for food and water and consumables?
The ship was only provisioned for 30 for a month, plus what we brought over from the station for the Marines. All the same, we're running through the provisions rapidly. Jeeves was going to recommend a food order in another day from now.
Launch the small freighter. Give it a new avatar so any people it deals with will think it has a captain. Do a speed run to the Dallas Military Orbital. Pick up what's waiting there and get it all back here as fast as possible. Also, how many fighters are still flying out there?
Confirmed. 3 squadrons.
Commander, I said to Alsop, can you communicate with Dallas Military and organize us food, water, and consumables for 200 people for a week?
Yes, sir. I'll use what we ordered for your station before the Avon battle as a base to work from.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?